Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes.
This is like a tidal wave of hope for all of us, so we are very, very grateful for that.
Frank Oldham is talking about the approval by the FDA today of a three-drug AIDS-fighting cocktail in one pill. Oldham's National Association of People with AIDS calls the breakthrough monumental. At the Global AIDS Alliance, David Bryden.
Once you can show people that medication is effective, that you can take it, you can gain access to it, it really does help people overcome that mental hurdle.
That mental hurdle being to actually take your meds while covered by the depression of an HIV diagnosis. Medicines from three different drug companies are combined in that single once-a-day pill. The Senate votes in a week or so on a bill to improve U.S. gas and oil supply. CBS's Bob Fuss says 8 million more acres of the Gulf of Mexico would be opened to oil and natural gas drilling.
It's far from a sure thing, but the compromise announced by the Senate Republican leader could lead to opening up about 8 million acres in the eastern Gulf of Mexico to oil and gas drilling. The proposal would still let Florida, which is very worried about its tourist beaches, protect offshore areas out to 125 miles. The House has passed a much broader bill, including ending a long-time moratorium on new drilling off the Atlantic and Pacific coasts, and it's unclear the two houses could come to agreement. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Trouble for Israel gets worse. First, Hamas in Gaza attacks soldiers and takes one captive more than 2 weeks ago. Today, CBS's Robert Berger says Hezbollah to the north attacked, killed eight Israeli soldiers, and took two hostage.
Israel's cabinet has approved airstrikes in Lebanon that are expected to target civilian infrastructure and Hezbollah facilities. But Israel is also bracing for rocket attacks from Hezbollah in return. Israelis in towns along the northern border have been ordered to spend the night in bomb shelters.
With White House reaction now, CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
The administration blames Syria and Iran for the abduction, since those two countries bankroll Hezbollah terrorists. In a written statement, White House spokesman Tony Snow says Lebanon should not be held hostage to the interests of the Syrian and Iranian regimes.
A tornado picks on commuter rail lines north of New York City. No human casualties that we know of so far.
We are getting reports of structures down, buildings down, multiple trees, power lines. We do have some power outages. We have trains that are being delayed because of trees down across rail lines.
Neil Sweeting at the Emergency Management Office in Westchester County. German officials have to pay the cost and damages to a drug mule. Police forced him to cough up a drug-filled balloon. Cruel and inhumane, ruled the court, when a little patience and attention would have been rewarded with the same evidence, eventually. On Wall Street, the Dow lost more than 121 points. The Nasdaq was off nearly 39. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and there's a bonus. If you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
The French soccer star who got tossed from the World Cup championship match for headbutting, an Italian player, is apologizing, sort of.
Je m'excuse auprès de tous les enfants et de...
I apologize to all the children who were watching. So said Zidane of that headbutt, aware he's a role model for kids all over the world. But Zidane says he doesn't regret headbutting Marco Materazzi, although he's not proud of his reaction. Zidane says his opponent insulted his mother and sister three times, and he couldn't just let it go. Zidane was sent off the pitch. He says he'd like to see Materazzi punished too because he provoked him. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
Police say an 80-year-old man has pleaded guilty to trading for what money was increasingly difficult to buy. He swapped crack cocaine for sex with prostitutes. Felix Coco's lawyer says his client wanted to remain active after his wife died 3 years ago and turned to hookers and found crack work better than cash for payment. Harley Carnes.
I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about the war is the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight. Yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
And now, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Remember, you can email me, enid@kctc.com. And you can, you know what? If somebody will run over to my desk with all the phone numbers on it on the Lauren's desk, that's where I forgot to bring it in. I don't know what numbers to tell you to call, but don't you think I should have memorized my 349-1320, I think, 866-626-1320? Yeah, that would be good. If you can bring that in, that would be a good thing. You can we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com, and also we're giving away a bicycle worth $1,400 if you go to 1320leftchannel.com. Click on Left Channel Legion. If you sign up, you can become eligible. So I just want to let you know that there are lots of ways to contact us here at AM 1320. We have lots going on today. It's been one of those kinds of days. We're going to be joined in the next hour by authors Michael and Jane Stern. I think you might have seen them on the Food Network. I think I have seen them on the Food Network, and I've been reading about them and reading their work for a lot of years now. They have a new book out called Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food. And what they have done, they just sort of fell in love over food. And if you think about the way food is categorized and written about, there's something that I want to call food porn. I mean, it's so erotic, the descriptions of food. Anyway, they are going to be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about food and their courtship over food and the roads taken and not taken, all to do with food. In the 5 o'clock hour, Charlie Brown is going to join us and make that Lieutenant Colonel Charlie Brown. And the reason he's going to join us is the front page of today's Sacramento Bee. Deep Doolittle has accepted the offer to debate Charlie Brown. I think this is really pretty remarkable that Doolittle is going to debate Charlie Brown. It means that Doolittle, as an incumbent, really doesn't have to do that, I don't think. I don't know that he would have done it, but he's really in the soup right now, and so he is debating Charlie Brown, and so we're going to have Charlie Brown on with us, Lieutenant Colonel Charlie Brown in the 5 o'clock hour. In the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to pay a visit again, revisit Will Durst, a conversation that he and I had together some months back. He's really wonderful. He's a political comedian, He has hosts a show with Willie Brown on the Air America station in San Francisco, and he and I had a recent conversation. And the reason we're doing that is that I am going to be over at UC Davis tonight, part of a new professional news writing class. And I think the students have been asked to listen, but most of them probably won't. And I think they're not going to know who I am. And I think the idea is that they're supposed to ask me questions and then write a profile. But this is Steve Maganini's class, and he is a reporter for the Sacramento Bee, and so I'll be over at Davis tonight, and you'll be listening to Will Durst for a little bit, and he is always just wonderful. So that's what's going on. I want to just let you know that Elaine Petricelli, who was our guest last week and owns, with her husband Bill, one of the best independent bookstores in the country, Book Passage in Corte Madera, it's in Marin County, guess who she's got coming in on Friday night? She's got Al Gore coming in, and she's completely sold out, so don't even try to get a ticket for it. But he is coming to her bookshop, her little bookshop, her wonderful bookshop, with a great and extensive selection and classes and authors coming in and so on. It's one of the few places he's coming to speak, and he's going to be there at her bookshop on Friday night. You ought to sign on to her webpage, bookpassage.com, to find out who upcoming writers are. It's worth a trip. It's an hour and change, an hour and a half, depending on the traffic and depending on how you drive. And you can be there, and it's a lovely evening or an afternoon, depending. So your choice. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Heather Rogers. And the reason I'm having her on, she's written a book called Gone Tomorrow, The Hidden Life of Garbage. I am interested in garbage. And the reason I am interested in garbage is the following. I've actually written a pieces about garbage. Yes, I know. What does that mean? Things that start out as wonderful and new and shiny and bright and useful end up often as garbage. And things that start out as garbage, old steel, cruddy stuff, get reprocessed and end up as a new, shiny new steel, shiny new car, shiny new something. So garbage, the process into and out of, is a kind of alchemy. Remember that in the medieval times, they were trying to find out the ways to convert base metal into gold, into precious metal. And that was thought to be the alchemy. Well, one form of alchemy is to take garbage and turn it into something wonderful. And the other part of the process is that something wonderful frequently becomes garbage. So it's a cycle and a recycle. So we're going to be talking with Heather Rogers tomorrow. And Monday, a favorite author of ours, Elizabeth Buchan. She's English. And she's got a brand new woman out, brand new book out called Wives Behaving Badly. She's written all these books about, the Revenge of the Middle-Aged Woman and so on. And the newest is Wives Behaving Badly. So she'll be joining us on Monday. So that's just a little flavor of what we have. And then things happen, and we never know what's going to happen. 349-1320, or if you're outside the 916 area code, 866-626-1320. All kinds of stuff that we've been talking about. First of all, I want to... Rudolph Giuliani is allegedly considering running for president in 2008. Rudy Giuliani. Now, Rudy Giuliani, on September 10, 2001, was in the toilet. On September 11th, he was a hero. But he was highly unpopular. Remember, he had to drop out from the Senate race with Hillary. He was fighting prostate cancer. He was cheating on yet another wife and living on the couch of a couple of gay friends of his as he was carrying on an affair, as he was still married. And the wife was maintaining her residence in Gracie Mansion, which is the home of the mayor of New York. Well, he is now, the word is that he is considering running for president in 2008. Well, are they going to reprieve? How is he going to be able to do that with his marital history in ruins? He's now married to, I think, his third wife. His first one was his cousin. The second one was Donna Hanover. And the third one is this Judy Nathan, who he was cheating with from Donna Hanover while he was still married to Donna Hanover. And Donna Hanover wouldn't move out of the mansion. And Rudy Giuliani is thinking about running for president. Well, there's more to the story. Move over, Dr. Ruth and Dr. Judy. There's a new sex advice guru in town, and her name is, gulp, Donna Hanover. Former First Lady of New York has jumped headfirst into her new gig as AOL's love and sex coach, mincing few words as she dishes out tips to the lovelorn and the lustful. You could easily imagine what her advice would have been to Judith Nathan, the current Mrs. Rudy Giuliani, who began the relationship while he was still married to Donna Hanover. Actually, you don't have to imagine. He's married. I would say tread very carefully, says Donna Hanover. If you respect marriage, probably the best thing to do is back off and go into a different direction. In other words, keep your paws off Rudy, Judy. So Judy and Rudy together. But while he was still married to wife number two. I don't know how that's going to play. And remember, aren't Republicans the party of values, strong personal values, strong family values? 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And I know you can't wait to hear this, but Paris Hilton is giving up sex for a year. That's right. Or it's possible that sex is giving her up, but she has made an announcement, as though we care, that she is going to give up sex for a year. One of the things we've been talking about, and pretty vigorously, too, is the new arena. Oh, more breathless reporting on the new arena. Vegas meeting. This is in today's B. Vegas meeting between local officials and the Maloofs. It's called Exhausting But Productive. Morose yet amusing. Negotiations to continue today. Dateline Las Vegas in an 11th-hour effort to come up with a financing plan for a new Kings Arena. Sacramento City and County officials met until late Tuesday behind closed doors with the Maloof family. Wait a minute, they're in Vegas, and they're up late. What are they doing up there late? Oh, they're meeting behind closed doors really late. They're not gambling, I guess. They're not dealing with hookers, I guess. They're not having late meals. They're going to cabaret shows. No. According to this reporting, they are carefully ensconced behind closed doors with the Aloof Maloof families, the King's owner, and their representatives at the Aloof Maloof's Palms Casino Resort. Negotiations are set to reconvene at 9 a.m. Today. Before the meeting, negotiators said the talks would initially focus on a major sticking point, the price tag for the new sports arena. The Maloofs and Sacramento elected officials have reached a consensus that they want to build the new Kings Arena at the Union Pacific Rail Yard just north of downtown, but talks broke down 2 weeks ago when they couldn't reach a consensus on even the most fundamental deal points, including how much the sports complex would cost to build. I just got an email from Jerry, one of our erstwhile listeners, who said one thing worries me. They're saying that 25% support the stadium, and we can't even seem to get people out to vote. Maybe the stadium will pass because people don't vote. Maybe this would give people a reason to vote. We would need the voter turnout of over 50% to stop them. Well, I don't know if that's right or not, but if there's a low voter turnout, maybe this benefits a new arena. I don't know. I don't know the equation for that. But here is all this breathless reporting, our city fathers hat in hand sitting at the feet of the Aloof Maloofs, sitting at the hooves of the Aloof Maloofs, and trying to get this arena going. Bad idea, very bad idea, stupid idea, that they are asking us to foot a sales tax for these rich people. Don't get me started. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. If the city thinks it's a great idea, if Sacramentans think it's a great idea, if all these rich people involved in it think it's really a great idea, that's fine. Let them pay for it themselves. Let them pay for it with private monies. Let it be a terrific, if it's so fabulous for the city of Sacramento and for the metro area, let it be a terrific investment opportunity. But we can't even get a bond issue passed for our libraries. So to have this thing, to have a penny, you know, even a fraction of a cent, and in sales tax yet, the most regressive or among the most regressive taxes, forget about it. I mean, I think that this thing ought to be dead in the water. So if the Maloofs and all these rich players and all the town fathers and mothers and mother fathers want to have this thing take shape, fine. Okay, you think it's a great idea? Good. Get your private monies lined up. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. You may want to comment about this, but the reporting continues to be breathless, as though we were negotiating an end to the Iraq war, as though we were negotiating a pullout. Instead, we're negotiating something that we should not be paying for with public monies. We talked about mushrooms, magic mushrooms, psilocybin, back in the news after a hiatus of about 40 years because it was very big in hippie times, and we haven't heard too much about magic mushrooms since. But the studies are really showing that a lot of terrific things can happen if you take mushrooms. So maybe Timothy Leary, about whom there is a new biography, and we might get the biographer out, has written, remember Timothy Leary, tune in, turn on, tune in, drop out, or tune in, turn on, drop out, one of those two. He was always in favor of psilocybin. Well, it's back in the news because Johns Hopkins has been studying it, and it turns out that it has had a very good effect on people. It sort of gives you a spiritual experience, the kind of experience. Well, here that let's see. Its widespread abuse in the 1960s, and this is a Wall Street Journal reporting, that led to hallucinogens becoming illegal, effectively shutting down then burgeoning corporate and academic research programs that had suggested that the ingredients might be valuable research and therapeutic tools. One of the last influential studies was the Good Friday experiment in 1962, so almost, about 45 years ago, in which 20 seminary students were given either psilocybin or nicotinic acid during a religious service. The 10 who got the psilocybin reported intense spiritual experiences with positive benefits. One follow-up study suggested these benefits lasted 25 years. Now, 25 years is longer than many marriages last, and 25 years is sometimes even longer than some lifetimes. And so they're looking at psilocybin all over again. But the interesting thing about psilocybin is that it is considered at the present time a Schedule I drug. So it's right up there with heroin. Magic mushrooms are right up there with heroin as far as the government is concerned. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Ken, in Citrus Heights, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yes, my name is Ken, and I am calling about the funding of ARENA. I totally agree with you about not funding it. It's of no benefit to us. It would be like us funding a new bank building for B of A or Wells Fargo.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, we're not getting any. You know, if we got like 10% of their gross booking, and you know, or some, if there was something coming back, some type of return, it would be considered an investment. But if I'm asking,
don't the Maloofs still owe us money the last time around?
Well, that I'm not sure of. I used to work for the Maloofs. It's a very good organization and all that. But it would be like, you know, funding an arena is different than contributing something to something.
Right.
You'd be giving something to get something. Even if it is like, I got upset with this city when I first got here. I worked for the Sacramento Symphony Society. And they in order to stay solvent, the symphony needed $1 million. To survive. They went to the city. The city said, no, they couldn't afford it at this time. Within 30 days, there was a basketball player that the city offered $16 million to stay here.
Well, I guess, Ken, that tells us exactly what the city considers important. Not the symphony, but basketball. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Southbound 5, we have slow traffic J Street to downtown. Currently, it's 83 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow, sunny and warm with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alperin on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot. lot of money.
Three,
no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, this is the day when all the food sections come out in the newspapers. And your goddess is busy clipping away recipes that I'm never in this lifetime going to make. But sometime I might. I might learn how to really make these things that sound so interesting and then have everybody over and have a picture-perfect life, just like when you look in the magazines. Remember how you look in those? They're called in the advertising business shelter books, the like Architectural Digest and Metropolitan Home and all the home living magazines with the furniture and the perfect rooms. And then you open up the pictures to the perfect rooms and you don't see the mayhem and you don't see the screaming and the yelling and the accusations of having an extramarital affair and the kids who are on drugs. You don't see any of that stuff in those magazines. You just see perfect rooms, and that's what I like. I like those perfect rooms. You do not see that issue that in New York, oh my God, where that doctor's marriage was failing, and he had come to love his townhouse more than he had come to love his wife, and he was going down in flames, really, and he attached something to the gas line. Anyway, their beautiful townhouse, now valued about $5 million, went up in flames. And divorce lawyers said that they said they're not surprised that this doctor's marriage is not the first to be reduced to rubble. Divorce lawyers have said that they had seen pets killed. They had seen pets put into the microwave. They had seen husbands give their wives tickets to the theater so that while they're at the theater, the wives at the theater, the husband can put the wives' possessions out in the street. Raoul Felder, who has represented Donna Hanover, Rudy Giuliani in his divorce from Donna Hanover, said that he has seen works of art and record collections slashed by angry spouses, a puppy put in the microwave, and a cat in the washing machine. The puppy died, said Rolf Felder, but the cat lived. In one case, an attorney recalled an opposing lawyer calling her to say that her client was standing at her husband's driveway about to take a sledgehammer to his Porsche. Don't try this at home. The attorney managed to calm her down. I said, you know, it's only a Porsche. If you're calm and cool and collected, we'll get you enough money to buy your own Porsche. So here it is. And then this guy, this doctor who he managed to live. The townhouse is dead, but he's still alive. His daughters moved out with their mother. She is Dutch and had resisted the Nazis, and so he put up, the doctor, put up swastikas all over the home. When the daughters tried to visit their father, he was just angry. One daughter is a designer at Nike in the Netherlands, and another one is a chef in New York. And the doctor, the father, dismissed them as disappointments. He said his wife was supposed to have educated her children, and I do not think that a cook and a seamstress is a very good result. Oh, does he sound like a... Oh, he sounds like the worst. All right, we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the magic mushrooms. I was amazed to find out, first of all, that they're getting such a good report from this experiment done with a number of high-level people at Johns Hopkins and other places. And number two, I was really surprised to find out that magic mushrooms, psilocybin is considered a Schedule One drug, so right up there with heroin. What are your thoughts? 349-1320. Steve in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yeah, commenting on the John Hopkins study.
Yeah.
If you read down further, 30% of them had real bad trips where it exhibited dangerous behavior. It affects people differently, and it can be a very dangerous drug for certain people.
Yeah, but for other people, it had been a very positive drug. And we had a caller yesterday to say that she had been suffering from some serious bipolar illness and that she had taken it. It was embedded in chocolate. I said, where do you get that, at Trader Joe's? she said, I wish. And she said it has made a big difference. It's been about a year.
I think it just needs to be controlled in a controlled environment.
Well, not maybe it isn't for everybody.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of antidepressants that will make somebody, you suicidal, Steve, if you take
right.
them.
I know somebody close to me that got 30 days in jail for it.
For magic mushrooms?
For the effects that what it caused him to do.
Oh, well, but I know, and a part of the study also says that
right.
the people who took it, that they had remarkable results that have lasted for 25 years. I think that's pretty
not
good.
Not everybody, though. 30% of that study.
But 30% means, 30%, Steve, means that 70% benefited from it. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Ken, in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
You know, only your show would we be talking about mushrooms and laundered cats.
This is a flea market of ideas, isn't it?
It certainly is. Hey, I actually think this is really great, you know, and I'm not going to go into any of my personal use, but some of the most spiritual moments of my life have happened on mushrooms in groups of people that were very intelligent and very controlled and very open, and they were just absolutely beautiful experiences. And I've always wondered, and I don't know if there's ever been any studies on this, on what psychotropics did for the human mind as we were an evolving animal foraging for food. Is there a connection between psychotropic chemicals and the advancement of human knowledge and our consciousness?
Well, there is a psychopharmacologist who teaches at UCLA, and he has said and he has written that in the history of human beings, people are always getting high on something. That's just what it is. And whether that's because it is part of our development, whether it's just what it is to be human that you want to get high on something, I don't know. And he says there's always something that people can get high on. I don't know if in taking mushrooms you would call it getting high exactly.
No,
but I think it's more along the lines of an altered state.
It's a redefinement of reality is how I would categorize it. It's a means of looking at reality through a really interesting perception device. And for me, I gained so much knowledge and wisdom through doing that.
Did it carry with you? How long ago was it, can I ask?
Well, it's been about 8 years since I did it, and it was between my wife and I, and we actually got into a very serious discussion on whether we wanted to have children or not. And we came out of that with such a big, beautiful experience. We really decided we wanted to be parents, and we got all of our ducks in a row financially and emotionally, and now we just have the happiest, most beautiful little four-year-old girl. So for us, absolutely.
It worked.
It did.
Well, what a remarkable story. I thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Now, isn't this interesting? You have got the drug companies in there trying to market. They have drugs now. Everything now is a disease. If you shop too much, that's a disease, and they're going to have some. They have something for that. And what they do is, I think they concoct these things, and then they, you know, I forget which is, where's the chicken and where's the egg. But everything now has been, we're in a kind of disease mode. People aren't passionate anymore. They have an addictive personality. That's the way we have framed the discussion. So things that are that might be useful. I think we are so phobic. For example, the one discussion that we have had repeatedly is the discussion about medical marijuana. Even let's back it up a minute to morphine. When people are at the end of their lives and they are in tremendous pain, we are so, doctors are so frightened, we as a society are so frightened of over-prescribing morphine. It doesn't even matter at that point. And doctors are particularly frightened of prescribing morphine, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they are monitored. And because we are so hysterical about drugs that they are, even people who are in the checkout line, you know, it's like Roach Motel. They did like hospitals. They check in, but they don't check out. And people aren't getting, they're not getting enough pain control because doctors are being monitored if their morphine use, usage is too, if they're prescribing too, at too high a level. I think they're singled out. 349-1320. Doug, calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, this is Doug. Am I actually on right now?
You are. Welcome, Doug.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's very interesting that you're talking about the magic mushrooms. I just happened to have had one recreationally a week or so ago and can say that over a period of 35-plus years, I have occasionally done the magic mushroom. It's a wonderful experience. There is no way that it ever could be conceived of as habit-forming or addictive. It's astonishing that it is considered a class one drug. It's not even a drug to me. It's a little bit like marijuana is an herb. It's not a drug. It hasn't been processed or manufactured in any way.
Well, now, according to, I'm doing this by memory, but I think up until about a year ago, it grows in Wales or someplace, and it was legal in England until about a year ago, I think. And now it is not legal, but as I recall, it's a Schedule I drug right up there with heroin.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't.
And it's absurd, and I can tell you that I'm a college graduate, an upstanding member of my community, a business owner and all that stuff, and it hasn't affected me in any negative way. All I would say would be positive things about the use of psilocybin.
All right, Doug. Well, there's a testimonial. They might be calling on you in their next advertising campaign.
Yeah, I think. I'm ready for them.
Thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, Diane in Oregon. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Good morning. How are you?
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry.
I'm very well. Are you listening on the net?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, great. Well, how did you hear about us?
Well, I'll be working in Sacramento, and being from Southern Oregon, we're a pretty progressive area of the country.
Okay.
And I was looking for a channel that I could be tuning into while I'm in Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
And yours is number one on my list.
Great. Well, thank you.
Well, I had a comment actually about so many people's personalities or situations are now being classified as disease or conditions or syndromes requiring prescribed drugs. And, you know, without going into the whole pharmaceutical industry and the FDA and the collusion for monies there, I think one thing is that there's a stronger push for homeopathic and over-the-counter, not even over-the-counter drugs at Rite Aid, but homeopathic and natural things that really do have some impact to situations, whether it's depression, St. John's wort for depression, or, echinacea for colds. And I think it's giving more credence and giving a little bit of threat to the pharmaceutical chest funds, so to speak.
Well, I think you're right, and I think even mainstream medicine, or let me put it this way, the insurers are making a push to alternative medicines because it's a lot less expensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan, and you know who's a big fan of homeopathy? You may be surprised about this. The English royal family.
Oh, yes.
Have been big, big, big fans for generations of homeopathy, homeopathic medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of acupuncture.
Uh-huh.
I always have thought, I think it's just wonderful. And who knows? You know, you don't know. Is it a placebo effect? But, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's been working, I think it's just fine. And there are lots of things that I think we can do. And I also think there are ways that we can heal ourselves when we sort of go inside ourselves. And I was talking to a good friend of mine who's a doctor, just the other day, and we were having a real discussion about what stress, and she sees how stress is a main cause of a lot of illness. But Diane, I appreciate your thoughts. I would really like to see. I would like to see drugs like psilocybin. I would like to see the use of medical marijuana be more available. But in this administration, when we're fighting terrorism, I remember John Ashcroft when he was running the Justice Department. He couldn't wait to rip up the medical marijuana gardens in Santa Cruz and in Los Angeles. So. Yeah.
Well, one thing that's going to happen too with more business in China, because China and the Chinese have a tremendous respect and strong homeopathic history and culture, and you know, when a lot of that information starts becoming more into the Western side, that could be just another angle for a threat.
Well, if you go to Chinatown, there are all these Chinese herbal pharmacies where you can get all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they all have odd names and rather poetic names. Diane, thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Southbound I-5 is slow J Street to downtown. If you're traveling along southbound 99, it's going to be slow 12th to Florin. Westbound Capital City Freeway is slow at Cal Expo. Currently 83 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, Claire Watkins.
Messages. Of course, we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, Bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I.
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at
349-1320. 3:43 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. I want to remind you that if you've missed any of our shows, they're now being archived on the WhiteRoseSociety.org website, WhiteRoseSociety.org. We are giving away a bicycle worth $1,400. Go to the website, 1320LeftChannel.com. Join the Left Channel Legion. Sign up to win. It is a Jameis Ventura Elite Road Bike. And it comes with a helmet, pump, repair kit, and AM 1320 Left Channel bicycle jersey. And you have the chance to win it, and it's all courtesy of the Bicycle Chef in Midtown Sacramento. So and coming up, we'll be joined by Michael and Jane Stern. We're going to have an encore visit with Will Durst, a conversation he and I had a little while ago. And Charlie Brown, Lieutenant Colonel Charlie Brown, in the wake of front page story in today's B, the deep doo-doo-doo-little, has agreed to debate Charlie Brown, but we don't know if that's really going to happen. We're talking magic mushrooms right now. We're talking psilocybin, a big study that says for 70 of the people who were studied, it was very beneficial. 30% had problems. Sean, calling from Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
Doing well, Sean.
It kind of related subject. You brought up drugs for every problem, and I'm old enough to remember when the hardest drug you ever really saw advertised was like aspirin on TV, and then you started seeing all these drugs being advertised, and I knew it was over the top when I saw a drug for nervous leg syndrome, which essentially is my, you know, Robert Klein song, I Can't Stop My Leg. And then I was thinking, well, isn't that really the solution to that? A little less caffeine, a little less soda, a little less sugar in your diet.
Oh.
And then, of course, I'm reminded of how I was hearing on the news about how they were stopping senior citizens at the border going into Canada or coming back from Canada with their drugs. And how our government considers Canada to be a dangerous source of hazardous drugs to our population.
Well, I have something more to add to the drug issue. Well, first of all, if you were listening yesterday, the big story is the extremely high price of cancer drugs. So
yeah,
if, God forbid, you get a cancer diagnosis, you get a double whammy. Because on the one hand, the news has got to be just like a thunderclap to your head when you hear that. It's almost too much to process. I would think. And then number two, when you have to start to treat what you have, the drugs can cost you as much as, maybe even more, but as much, they said, as $10,000 a month. And even if you have health insurance, it's often not enough. Some people, in the middle of their illnesses, are forced to go back to work in order to pay for their drug therapies. So you have that going on. And another little known aspect, and I saw a piece about it, and now I can't lay my hands on it. So if somebody has saw it in Vanity Fair, I'd love to have it. But there's a whole thing that happens in this country where regular pharmaceutical companies ship to a kind of a middleman, and there's no oversight in the middleman, so we don't know whether drugs are being refrigerated at their proper temperature. We don't know what the oversight is when those drugs are shipped to those middleman outfits, and then those middleman outfits then reship it to some of the drugstores. So those drugs could be sitting in places where their effectiveness is cut because they are not sitting in the right conditions. And that's a whole scandal, and I believe that's pretty much unregulated. I think there has been a book written about it. If somebody knows what the book is, I remember seeing a piece about it in Vanity Fair, and I can't put my hands on it. So if somebody has that, I'd like to know about it.
I have no doubt that the drugs coming out of Canada are as safe, probably safer, than drugs you're going to purchase here in the United States, because they're all coming from the same sources, essentially.
Well, I think you're right, and it's an opportunity for seniors to not have to make the choice between whether or not they're going to pay the rent or they're going to buy their meds or pay buy food or buy their meds. Sean, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Here is this really remarkable study. I haven't heard about magic mushrooms in about 1,000 years, and here is the study that is that has been reported now all over the place, and in today's Wall Street Journal. Or maybe it was yesterday's, I can't remember, but these are a class of compounds. The doctor, one of the doctors who was involved in the study said, it is remarkable to me that we have a class of compounds that has sat in the deep freeze for 40 years. It seemed to me scientifically it was high time to look again at psychedelic agents. Known colloquially as magic mushroom or sacred mushroom, psilocybin is considered, again, a Schedule I substance under the U.S. Controlled Substances Act. That puts it in the same class as heroin and LSD, drugs that have a high potential for abuse and no known medical use. But I don't know that you can become addicted to mushrooms, can you? I've not heard about that, and I know that they are used in some sacred rites. So if you're a member of the certain churches, am I getting it confused with peyote rites? But some churches maybe use psilocybin. In any event, it is considered Schedule One. I have not heard that it's addictive, but I'm sure that many of you will know that better than I. 30% had kind of difficult reactions to it, but 70% didn't. And in one follow-up study, there were some seminarians that were given the drug, and they had a really good and very spiritual response, effects that have lasted for 25 years. I believe that, by the way, with mushrooms. I believe that that's true. Steve in Citrus Heights. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm very, very well, Steve.
Let's see. Mushrooms. I think that's an interesting study and probably a good thing. Off the bat, I can't say that I would recommend mushrooms for everyone or that's necessarily a good thing, but the fact that people are researching it and looking into what's possible, I think, is great. Because in a controlled environment, you know, that can be a good thing.
What do you think is the downside to mushrooms?
I don't know. I guess probably prolonged use, maybe the psychological. Personally, I tried them and really enjoyed them, but then I did them more times after that, and the more I did them, the less it was a good thing, and the more it was kind of a burden on my mind.
So you ceased?
What's that?
You stopped doing?
I don't do hallucinogens at all, so I don't like where it puts my mind, but I think that there is good use for them.
Did you get anything, do you think you got anything out of it, let's say that first time that you did it?
Probably did, and probably even more than just the first time. I mean, maybe that's part of what I am today, you know. Maybe that's why I see things the way I do. I think that I don't regret anything that I've done, and especially not trying mushrooms. So, I'm sure that they have changed me for the better.
Steve, I thank you for the call. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's West Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Southbound I-5, slow traffic, J Street to downtown. Southbound 99 is slow, 12th to Florin. If you're on westbound Capital City Freeway, it's going to be slow at Cal Expo. Currently, it's 83 degrees in the Capital City. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alperin on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Seen here.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion It stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to nohagglemortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow nohagglemortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to nohagglemortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to nohagglemortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
And left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
3:53 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We have lots of cooking for you today. We have the Stearns in the next hour. We have Lieutenant Colonel Charlie Brown, because Deep Doo-Doo Doolittle has said he would debate him, and we'll have him in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, there have been some more blockbuster revelations about Mrs. Deep Doo-Doo Doolittle on the front page of the Washington Post. We'll be discussing those, and an encore visit with comedian Will Durst in the 6 o'clock hour. So lots coming up. Let's head over to the phones. We're talking about magic mushrooms, this new study, and some Johns Hopkins personnel involved in this new study. It looks like there's a lot of promise with psilocybin, an entity that has been in the drug deep freeze for about 40 years. Alex in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, yeah. Alex.
Hey, Enid, I'm calling to comment on the psilocybin. I've done it a good half dozen times now. And for one, I'd like to address the habit-forming thing. It is very grueling on your body when you take it. It's about a six-hour span, and it's impossible to sleep. So you wake up the next day, it takes a toll. And secondly,
wait a minute. All right, describe the toll that it takes. You're hyper. You just can't sleep. You're just engaged in some alternate.
There are different phases that consist of. Like at first, it's as if you're looking for your keys and you can't find them. You it's like a feeling like you're perpetually like looking for something and you can't find it. And then you have like a window of about half an hour where it's actually hallucinogenic depending upon the strength of what you picked up. And later on, it's more like an anxiety feeling, and then, like, you just can't sleep. It's like insomnia.
Oh.
And so
was it useful?
Like,
all right, now how do you know you're getting what you think you're getting? Do people add things to it, or are you getting the natural mushroom?
Well, you're getting it natural. You look at it, it's like an actual mushroom. And that's another thing, too, where people are talking about they've experienced different things. There are many other different forms of mushrooms. It's not just psilocybin mushrooms. So perhaps people picked up ones that contain some other chemical property. And also, your whole experience depends on your outlook on life and who you're around, your environment when you take it. Because I've done it with different people, and one person was sort of, like, rocky in terms of, like, how she acts when she's drunk and that, and that's what translated into a weird experience while taking it. Whereas I'm taking it with friends, I'm really relaxed, laid back with it, and had intellectual conversations, and it was much more beneficial and a better experience. So,
all right, now how did it, Alex, how did it affect you?
How did it affect me?
Yeah.
Just sort of like a religious awakening, sort of. I'm not into religion or anything like that, but just discussing just how I feel about, like, God and how he impacts my life while you're on it, especially with people that share the same feelings, sort of just I don't know. It's reawakening. I don't know. It's an amazing experience.
So do you feel like you are addicted now?
No, you can't be addicted. That's the thing. When you take it, it's like the day after, you swear you won't ever take it again because it takes such a toll on your body, and it sort of just like makes you feel horrible the next day. So it is probably anything in this world you could say is more addictive than that substance, honestly.
So it takes a toll. You're making it sound like it's a very unpleasant thing, but you're saying cost to benefit ratio was a plus for you.
Correct. Well, it takes a toll in terms of you should take, well, every time I've taken like 8 or 9 at night, and it lasts for 6 hours. So you're talking about I'm going to bed around like 4 and waking up at like.
Well, why take it at 8 or 9? Why don't you take it early?
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
A deadly Hezbollah attack draws Israeli forces into Lebanon.
We are fighting back in order to fight for peace.
A simple single pill for HIV patients.
This is like a tidal wave of hope for all of us.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Israel launched attacks on a new front today, Lebanon. While Israeli forces in Gaza searched for a captured soldier, Hezbollah guerrillas from Lebanon staged a raid in northern Israel. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan has details.
Guerrilla fighters crossed the border and ambushed an Israeli patrol, killing 3 soldiers and capturing 2 who were wounded. Israel sent armored vehicles into Lebanon on a rescue mission. One of their tanks hit a large mine, killing the 4 soldiers inside. That sparked a major ground battle. Another Israeli soldier was killed as they tried to retrieve their dead. Israel launched attacks from the sea and air as well, sending warplanes into Lebanon.
One airstrike was just 10 miles from Beirut. The Israeli foreign minister says they're fighting for peace.
Israel has no other alternative but to defend itself and its citizens. Israel expects also the international community to act.
I'm Peter Mayer in Rostock, Germany. As President Bush arrives here, the new crisis in the Middle East only adds to the challenges for his meetings with Chancellor Angela Merkel and later this week with Russian President Putin before the G8 summit in St. Petersburg. The U.S. blames Iran and Syria for stirring up trouble, and it hopes other countries will join in pressuring the two nations and other players in the region.
There's a late report from Gaza City that an Israeli airstrike has destroyed the Palestinian Foreign Ministry. Now this.
slack for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way. The answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
Until now, patients infected with the AIDS virus have had to take cumbersome cocktails of drugs. But today, the Food and Drug Administration approved a once-a-day pill that replaces all the others.
This will make it easier for people to take their medication and to adhere to the regimen that will save their lives. This is monumental.
Frank Oldham of the National Association of People with AIDS.
I'm Dan Revive. The FDA says poor countries especially needed to have a simpler treatment for HIV and AIDS because getting a bunch of different pills to people so they could take them at the right time has been very difficult. The federal doctors emphasize, however, that this pill is high quality, also approved for Americans fighting AIDS, not some second-class product just for foreigners.
In Yucca Valley, California, firefighters try to coordinate their efforts against a desert blaze that's forced 1,000 people from their homes. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is covering.
The burned area is now approaching 30,000 acres. Much of the charred land is simply dry brush, but more than 24 structures have been destroyed, many of them in Pioneer Town, an area that was used in the 1950s to film westerns. Officials believe this fire was started by lightning strikes.
Republican leaders in the Senate have cleared the way for a vote on opening a huge area of the Gulf of Mexico to oil and natural gas drilling. Florida Senator Mel Martinez says he's won assurances that no drilling would be allowed within 125 miles of his state's shoreline. The lure of free gasoline at a service station in Milwaukee had some drivers lining up before midnight last night. By morning, they were a little testy. Allstate gave away a tanker load of gas because Milwaukee ranks number one among mid-sized cities in its safe drivers list. But safety took a back seat this morning. Fistfights broke out and there were two crashes as drivers jockeyed for position at the pumps. Police made arrests for disorderly conduct. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, June 9th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts matches, which include 3-time UFC champion and UFC Hall of Famer Dan the Beast Severin versus Brian Pardo in the main event. Other matches will include Kengo Ura, Philip Wyman from Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den, Shannon Rich, Torres Kebab, and others. Visit CacheCreek.com for tickets and information.
Enid Live continues on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
4:06, 6 minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. Remember, we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. You can email me, Enid, at kctc.com. And I'm going to give you the numbers. They're always toll-free. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're outside it, it's 866-626-1320. Joining us are two people I've been reading about for a long time and I have occasionally seen on the Food Network. They are a married couple, Jane and Michael Stern. You know them because of their love affair with American food. They've traveled across America. They've written about the places that they have found. And they have a brand new book out, more a memoir than a place to stop and eat. It's called Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food. Jane and Michael Stern, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here, Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi. Talk to me about Well, I was looking at the beginning chapters of your book, and I'm sort of a foodie a couple of times removed. I'm somebody who appreciates it, although one of these days I know I'm going to learn how to cook. I assemble food, and Cliff Recipes. It's sort of like if you go through the motions, you will somehow by osmosis learn how to do this. And in the beginning, there are some things that we pulled out of the beginning chapter of your book. And I want to just share this. You said our first date was over a white clam pizza at Pepe's Pizzeria on Worcester Square in New Haven, Connecticut. It was instantly apparent as we gazed into each other's eyes across the thin-crusted Neapolitan pie, speckled with tiny, tender clams and frosted with olive oil, that we shared a passion for garlic. Our initial lust for each other was fueled by an orgy of lobster rolls, split hot dogs, Yankee Doodle Double Dandy Doodle Burger, cheeseburgers, calzones, and cannolis. I mean, I think, talk to me about this, because there's a kind of writing, food writing, that almost verges on food porn, and I love it.
Well, we love it, too. I mean, this Two for the Road is about our love affair with American food, and we didn't use that term lightly when we thought about it. I mean, we love what we do. We love traveling around the country and discovering great things to eat, and not just the great things to eat, but the great places that we visit, you know, the restaurants, the people that we meet there. There's a whole culture there, and we really are passionate about it.
You know, it's funny. We started doing this in 1971 is when we first got on the road, and you know, our first few trips across the country, which is, you know, a rite of passage when you're young. I mean, everyone has to get in the car and drive coast to coast at some point. We kept thinking, well, this was fun, you know, and that's the end of it. And then, you know, a month later, we get in the car and do it again. And now it's been like, you know, 35 years plus, and we're still doing it. And every time we go out on the road, we find things we've never found before.
What was the intent when the two of you hit the road? You wanted to test every restaurant, some restaurants, a certain kind of restaurant?
We were slightly megalomaniacal in that our original goal when we seriously hit the road to write the first edition of Road Food was simply to review every restaurant in America.
Yeah, we thought that seemed normal, not realizing how big this country was. Since Michael is from Chicago, and I'm an East Coast girl, but neither of us had really traveled very much. And what we knew about the United States was from our Rand McNally Atlas, which, you know, when you opened up to the entire country, it was 2 feet across, if that. And all the states were like pink and green and blue, and it looked, you know, extremely manageable. So, you know, it didn't strike us until we were out on the road what a, you know, folly this was.
When you made your first trip on the road, and by the way, you buy a car, and even the terms in which you described the car, you said, what was it, vomit green?
Yes, with several different shades of vomit green, different body parts.
Or as Michael said, the vomit of somebody who had been eating a lot of peas. a particular green.
So this was what, a 75 Chevy?
Not just a Chevy Suburban with dual air conditioners. We were savvy enough travelers that we bought this monster of a car approximately 8 weeks before the first big gas crisis.
And driving that car, I think we're personally responsible for global warming and the oil crisis.
I'm sure Al Gore.
Without a doubt, the most inefficient car in the world.
Al Gore is not inviting you to dinner anytime soon.
No, he's probably out gunning for us.
So you get into this car, and where do you decide you're going to set off to on your first trip out on the road?
Well, our first trip was we were heading south, and we live in Connecticut, so our first couple of stops were in New Jersey. I remember very well. There was a diner, like a kind of a classic old style diner by the side of the road. We thought, what an excellent way to start our eating adventure in a classic old style New Jersey diner. I remember we sat down and we asked the waitress what kind of pie they had, because we figured pie in a diner, what could be better. Her answer was, the pie today is red pie.
What does that mean?
Just because the mucilage that was made out of whatever the heck it was was red, just the way
there
like
was
a
no,
red.
Nothing at all resembling fruit in this pot.
Right, a red lollipop, a red chuckle. You know, it's all the same kind of red.
A gelatinous material, allegedly
yeah.
a pot. There was a wonderful story about some people came out from New York to a little restaurant in Indiana, making a, maybe in South Bend, and this was a long time ago before South Bend, now home of Notre Dame, was less sophisticated than it is today. And they settled in a restaurant because they were making a presentation, I think, to the Studebaker people, so that's how long ago that was.
Oh, wow.
And they sat in this charming little restaurant and they said to the waitress, and it said on the menu, soup du jour. And they said to the waitress, they asked the waitress, what is the soup du jour? She said, just a minute, let me find out. And she was gone for quite a long time. And when she came back, she answered, the soup of the day. So, that was the only road food story I have. All right, so why are you going to hit the road and try to sample every restaurant in America? What are you going to do with this information?
Well, you know, the thing is, we had started traveling. As Jane said, it was at that time, it was a kind of rite of passage to hit the road and find oneself, the real America, whatever the heck you were looking for. But we were always hungry. So as we traveled, we kept looking for a great guidebook that would tell us where to eat the food that is really of the people. You know, catfish in Mississippi, chicken fried steak in Texas, whatever it might be. We could not find that guidebook. So the more we traveled, we kept taking notes and writing notes. By the time we finished with several trips, we realized there is no such guidebook. Somebody's got to write it. We looked at each other and said, why not us?
And so that became the beginning. How many books have you written, the two of you together?
It's over 40 now.
40 books?
Yeah,
oh, my goodness. The passion became what you decided to do with your lives. It became what you did for a living.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because so many of our friends are retiring now, and I feel like we still haven't gotten, you know, our first real job.
My guests are Michael and Jane Stern, or Jane and Michael Stern. Their new book is more a memoir than a memoir, Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food. You can, if you have questions for them, let me invite your questions, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. So you specialize really in road food, not fancy food.
Absolutely.
Do you sometimes have fancy food?
I have nothing against fancy food, except I do get very impatient at a long, drawn-out, multi-course dinner. But it's our belief, really, that our focus is kind of on food, not as high art, the way great chefs do it, but more as folk art, the way the folks do it.
Uh-huh.
And that's always been sort of our goal when we hunt road food.
And quite frankly, I think both of us are more interested in, you know, the old lady in the hairnet who's been making the best banana cream pie in America for the last 45 years.
But does that still exist
in the back of a cafe, rather than the, you know, egomaniacal celebrity chefs that, you know, we all get a dose of
on the Food Network?
Yeah.
Does that still exist very much? The homemade, the way it's been done for the last 45 years, the blue-haired waitress with the handkerchief in her pocket and the hairnet. Is there very much of that left?
There is. And, you know, the blue-haired lady with the hairnet, I mean, she's changed. I mean, the cultural diversity that is constantly sweeping through this country is always kind of changing the face of road food, but it is there. I mean, there have been, you know, over the years we've seen a huge sort of onslaught of big corporate franchise restaurants run a lot of these mom and pop places out of business. But despite that, these places survive because they are part of the fabric of life. You know, they're the kind of food that people grow up eating is their identity. And you know, the taqueria in South Tucson, or you know, the lumberman's pancake house up in northern Maine. I mean, these are part of the community, and I don't think they're going to be going away fast.
What about Sacramento? Have you been in the Sacramento area? Are there places that you can recommend to us?
Well, we were in Locke not too long ago, you know, the old
right.
Chinese community.
Right. And what did you...
There's a wonderful restaurant there called Al's. Do you know Al's?
I've heard of Al's. I might have even been there. It's been quite a while, though. You're talking about Locke in the Delta.
Yes, Locke in the Delta. And, I mean, Al's has that horrendously politically incorrect name. It's printed on the window. It's called Al the Wop.
Okay.
I tell you, we once wrote a story about it for Gourmet Magazine, and I cannot tell you the problems we had with the copy editors and the editors. What are we going to do? What are we going to call this? Because, I mean, that's just what people around there call it, you know, and that's what it is. But in any case.
So what is this under Ruth Reichel's tenure at Gourmet?
Yeah.
So what did they finally wind up, using the...
The Northern Italian.
Oh, they did? They cleaned it up?
I don't think it was ever called by what they call it.
Oh.
Rock is such a funny town because it's, you know, Chinese, like old style, you know, Cantonese, food, and then Al's, which is Italian, and then once a year in Locke, they have a big festival, and it's the only street fair I've ever seen in America that's centered around a food item, and it's a big liver feed. It's like, you know, I mean, liver and onions, you know, for 1,000 people. And I always thought that was the strangest, you know, festival food.
Oh, you have to have a certain constitution for liver and onions and for tongue and things like that. And I want to direct your attention. My friend Steve Rubenstein at the San Francisco Chronicle has just been to, and you've probably been there as well, Billings, Montana, for the Testicle Festival.
Yeah. We have not attended the Testicle Festival, no.
No, but we've eaten quite a few testicles in Montana.
Oh, well, they probably all belong to Republicans, I'm sure, and possibly a couple of Democrats, too, thrown in for. But they're saying that a fresh calf testicle, and they call them, of course, Rocky Mountain oysters, that they say a fresh calf testicle tastes like lobster. Is that true?
No. It tastes more like liver, actually.
It's sort of like liver or sweetbread. I mean, it's a quivery organ meat.
Oh.
You can also get rooster fries because, you know, roosters have testicles, too. They're just teeny-weeny. And what other testicles across America have we dined on?
Well, some of the great euphemisms for them, in addition to Rocky Mountain oysters, is you hear them referred to as tendergroin.
Tendergroin?
Tendergroin or swinging beef is another one.
What is the oddest thing you have ever eaten? And by the way, I love the review that Nora Ephron did of your book.
Oh, God, yes.
In the New York Times Book Review. What is the oddest thing that you have ever eaten?
Well, probably different parts of pigs are some of the oddest things we've eaten. You know, one of a huge part of road food when you travel around the country is soul food. And if you go to the soul food restaurants in and around St. Louis, it seems like they in particular specialize in odd parts of the pig, including snouts, which is pig snouts, barbecued pig snouts. And the weirdest thing I ever ate was a pig ear sandwich, because this was, in fact, two pieces of sliced white bread in between which was one intact, whole, boiled pig's ear.
And
St. Louis that Michael is talking about, we asked the lady who ran it, you know, if what other strange parts of pig she served, and she said, "Honey, we serve everything from the rooter to the tooter."
You have favorite places that you think are really wonderful
on the pig or in America?
In America.
Okay. God, you know that's. It's kind
you
of
ask, after, you probably asked
Hugh
that
Hefner, question. Who his favorite girlfriend was. You know, I think we're very fickle. You know, whatever part of the country we're in, not only do we adore the food, but we also always pick up, like, the real estate section of the paper and decide that we absolutely have to move there. I think, you know, if we actually had moved as many times as we had set out to, we would be probably on our, you know, 2,000th city at this point.
But I will tell you, most recently, we just discovered, I mean, you know, there are some wonderful, exotic, beautiful, picturesque places in the Southwest along the coast of Maine. Recently, though, we were in Akron, Ohio, of all places, and discovered a wonderland of great places to eat. I mean, terrific little Hungarian mom-and-pop restaurants, corner cafeterias.
Serbian
restaurants. Akron, we learned while there, is the home of the sauerkraut ball. They have an actual city food that is unique to Akron.
And we found a place it's not actually Akron, Michael. What's the name of that?
Barberton?
Yeah, where it's a Hungarian cafeteria where they make the most terrific chicken paprikash, and they actually grind the paprika, which I've never seen done anywhere.
You know, I think what's really remarkable is that you two fell in love with each other over these erotic-sounding dishes that were kind of ordinary, but through your sensibility, had a lot of tingle and passion. And you have made a life devoted to your passions, getting on the road, writing about what you've done. It just sounds like an extraordinary adventure.
Well, it is, and we're still hungry, too.
I think we sort of were like Jack Kerouac, but Jewish and really hungry all the time.
Well, the food is your poetry. That's it. And the two of you really, literally, poetry in motion. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm delighted. Jane and Michael Stern, new book, Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food. Thanks, the two of you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alprin.
Thanks, Enid. Eastbound 80, we have slow traffic downtown to Northgate and again at Riverside. Southbound I-5 is slow from J Street to downtown. Southbound 99, we have slow traffic 12th to Mack. Westbound Capital City Freeway is slow at Cal Expo to the American River Curve. Eastbound Cap City Freeway is slow East Street to Cal Expo. Currently it's 83 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow is sunny and warmer with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
The fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply, the sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
4:26 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And if you're just tuning in, you have missed Michael and Jane Stern, their life of road food, Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food. But I want to just give you a line from their book. They thought about restaurant critics, and they said, restaurant critics were gourmets, and gourmets ate such grotesque things as creamed snails, sick-looking live pâtés, cheeses that smelled like feet, and odd organs from inside unusual animals. In our mind's eye, gourmet food was a joke food, like what you might be forced to ingest during a fraternity hazing. We preferred hamburgers, mashed potatoes, and apple cobbler. They were fun to talk to, weren't they? We've got Charlie Brown coming in the 5 o'clock hour, because on the front page of the Sacramento Bee today, Deep Doo Doo Doolittle has said that he would debate Lieutenant Colonel Charlie Brown, and he wants to be called Lieutenant Colonel because Deep Doo Doo Doolittle, I don't think, did any kind of military service. So we'll talk to him about that. And also some front page revelations in the Washington Post about Mrs. Deep Doo Doo Doolittle and what she's been up to. Mostly they've been up to stuffing their pockets. And I am waiting for people to get fed up with that, but I keep waiting. I think they need the magic mushrooms. We've been talking about the Arco Arena and the breathless reporting that everybody is sitting at the feet of the Aloof Maloofs and trying to put together a deal for an arena that they expect us to pay for. You know, forget it. Not going to happen. A quarter cent sales tax increase, an extremely regressive tax to pay for an arena that many people can't even afford to go into, many people cannot afford to pay the tickets for. And these are rich people who are putting this thing together who will benefit the most from it. And what about the rich players as well? No, I think if it's such a great idea for Sacramento, let's do this with private monies. And we are also talking about magic mushrooms. There's a new study, Johns Hopkins, a brand new study about magic mushrooms, and for about 30% of the people that participated in the study, it wasn't such a perky experience, but for 70%, it was a very powerful experience. For some, a life-changing, a very deeply spiritual experience. And they did an experiment maybe 40 years ago before they put psilocybins away for good, and with some seminarians, and 25 years after the experiment, people still felt that they had been profoundly changed. So that's a pretty powerful kind of an endorsement, I think. I'd be more curious about psilocybin. I wonder, but you know, we're in an environment where it's not going to happen. We are so rabidly anti-drugs of one kind, but very pro-drugs of another. People are taking all kinds of stuff. And you can't turn on TV with ads for drugs. And I'm telling you, some of my friends are ER docs, and they hate it when patients come in to say, well, why don't you give me such and such a drug that they see advertised? Well, the doctor, I guess, wants to examine you and come to a determination himself or herself. But you see these ads, like ads for Lunesta and the drugs that make you go to sleep, and then you find out that you wake up in the middle of the night and you start driving around, or Ambien, you start driving around and cooking in the middle of the night, and you have no memory that you're doing it. So these are not so easy. It's not, you know, here's what it makes it sound like. You take a pill and suddenly you're fine. You take a pill, suddenly you can sleep. Well, they say you have to be able to devote a number of hours to sleeping, or you could be sleepy, and particularly it's not good if you're going to try to drive. And yet there are side effects with a lot of this stuff. So you be careful. This idea that it's going to be easy if you have